On the Bicast, we strive to bring you information, support, and entertainment. Today, we are joined with Sarah Stump from Bisexual Books on Tumblr, as well as Heidi Bellow and Tess Sharp, two bisexual authors who write bisexual characters in their books. Welcome!
Thank you!
Hi!
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Heidi.
And I am Tess Sharp.
And I'm Lynette.
So let's get started. I am Sarah, and I am one of the co-editors of Bisexual Books, the internet's only bisexual-specific book blog that I know of. If there's someone else out there with another one, please get in contact with me because I'd love to hear about it. And I wanted to bring together some of the awesome bisexual authors I know, in particular ones who have recently written bisexual characters in their stories. There are so few bisexual characters in fiction and so few out bisexual authors, so we're lucky to have two writers with us who kind of have done both, who hit the sweet spot. So let's find out a little more about our two guests, Heidi Bellow and Tess Sharp. Why don't we start by having each of you tell us a little bit about yourself and your books. Heidi?
Okay, hi, I'm Heidi Bellow. I've been writing since forever, but I've been writing professionally since 2011. I am an author of queer, romantic, and erotic fiction. My latest book had a bisexual character. It was the sci-fi thriller Bliss, and I've featured a lot of bisexual men and women in my novels.
I'm Tess Sharp. I am the young adult author of Far From You, which I like to describe as a murder mystery tied, a love story tied in a murder mystery bow. Sorry, it's early. My main character, Sophie, is 17. She lives in rural Northern California, where I grew up personally. And she is bisexual, and she's trying to figure out who killed her best friend while being fresh out of rehab, and everybody thinks that the murder is her fault. So she's got a lot on her plate.
That sounds great. Sounds really interesting. Yeah. What has been the response in the industry from agents, editors, publishers towards having bisexual characters in your books? Heidi?
I haven't actually queried any agents officially yet, although that's on my to-do list of checking off. But the agents I've talked with on Twitter have been really excited to see LGBT content. I don't think they're specifically pushing for bisexual content, but I definitely get the sense that it's welcomed by agents who also welcome other LGBT stuff. So, like, bisexual is a part of that general thrust for more queer fiction that a lot of agents are looking for. As for editors and publishers, working in small press publishing, specifically queer small press publishing, I've had a great time. my editors are always excited to feature bisexual characters. The only time I've ever had even the slightest issue was when I first got started. I had a bisexual character in a horror short who had sex on page with a male and a female character, and there was some concern that in the male-male genre where I do a lot of my writing, that would really not be acceptable and people wouldn't really enjoy it all that much. And so there was a little bit of, should we cut out this actual, like, it was okay that he had a girlfriend, but should we cut out this explicit sexual contact with her? And that was a bit of a debate. But since that was very early days, and now it's really not like that at all. I haven't had any comment like that ever since, and I don't think anyone would even ask me for that.
So I'm pretty good. Not. Cass, how about you?
I've been very fortunate with this book. I have had a really long querying journey or publishing journey. I started querying when I was 17. I'm 27 now. And I queried 5 projects before I queried Far From You. Some of them were LGBT projects. Some of them were not. With this one, I only queried for 3 weeks. It was very, very, very fast. It was the one, you know, so to speak. In terms of response, I've had nothing but really positive responses towards the book from everybody in publishing. I've been really fortunate because I know that has not been everybody's experience. We are having a really interesting conversation about diversity within the YA community right now, so it's kind of good timing. And I definitely think that publishers and agents are really looking to diversify and expand, which is really, really helpful and really great.
Just for clarification for anybody who, you know, might be listening to this who doesn't really know the ins and outs of, like, the book industry, can you explain a little bit about the, like, querying process and how long it takes to get a book from, hey, I've got this thing, you know, would somebody like to publish it, to actually having a book in your hand?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you do is you write a query letter, which is basically, I guess you could compare it to the back cover of a book. It's a basic summary of your book, and you send it out to agents who then will, if they want to represent you, they will offer you a they will offer you representation, and then they will represent your two publishers, two editors at many different publishing houses. Querying can be really difficult. I was the first person that my agent had signed in over a year, and she gets about probably like between 8 to 10,000 queries a year. And it can be really discouraging. There's a lot of rejection, and sometimes it feels like, especially when you're writing queer fiction, like you have an extra hill to climb because so little of it actually gets published by mainstream publishers, which is really frustrating. I think that in YA, it's a little easier to publish LGBT content than in mainstream publishing, though don't completely quote me on that because I'm not completely well versed in the adult market, at least in mainstream publishing. But basically, you write a query letter, you send it out to a bunch of agents, you cross your fingers and pray and hope, and then if they're interested, they will request a full from you, which is the full manuscript, and then in 3 to 6 to a year time, they may read the full, and if they want it, they will offer you representation. And if you get an offer, then what you usually do is you let all the other agents know that you've received an offer, and then sometimes a bunch of other agents will jump on it and want to read it or want to provide an offer, want to offer representation for you. And then you get to choose, which can be a wonderful and very frustrating and exasperating experience. So, yeah, that was my experience, so to speak.
Great, thanks. This question, the next question, really, I kind of put in more for Heidi, which was, do you think the climate for bisexual characters is different in the small press world in general or in LGBT? Do you think the climate for bisexual characters is different at small presses and LGBT presses?
I'm not really sure because, she said, we don't really have a basis for comparison. I've never worked with a large press yet, so I don't necessarily know how my fiction would be welcome there and bisexual characters would be welcome there. I've noticed a lot of shift just within the queer romance sphere where a lot of people are really starting to gain interest in bisexual characters. Like I said, when I first started, this was a couple of years ago, and male fiction was still not in its very early stages. I wasn't there for that. But earlier on, there was a lot of issues, not specifically with bisexual characters, but with how bisexual characters were portrayed. Because you have, I guess there's a lot of tension around showing women in sexual positions, specifically in male-male fiction. And I assume, like, in lesbian fiction, there's also going to be a similar but different reaction to women in relationships with men in lesbian fiction. And so when I first started out, there were review blogs that literally would not accept your book if it had a sex scene with a woman in it. And so when you're writing a bisexual character, sometimes that doesn't matter. And other times that's very crucial to their characterization and to their journey that they have these relationships with different genders. And so at that point in time, it was really frustrating to have these bisexual characters that were out and had these separate but equal and important relationships and be basically told, no, as long as you've got a girl on the pages, I'm not interested. Nowadays, it's really not like that. I see a lot of people who talk about how refreshing it is to see bisexual characters. There's a lot of bisexual people who are coming out and demanding fiction that represents them fully and accurately. So honestly, I'm having a grand old time. Since I've come out and really started speaking as a bisexual author, I was always queer, but now I'm really talking from that specific bisexual standpoint. I found a lot of readers. I found a lot of fellow authors. I make a much more of a point now in my current fiction than I did in my past fiction to really say, to have a character say, I am bisexual. My first novel, we had it in the first draft that the character thought, oh, I think I'm bisexual. And then we crossed it out and sketched it out. And I regret that to this day that I made that terrible mistake because it really, you saw in the reception of the book that a lot of people were needing that to see that character say that. And now I really try to not leave it ambiguous anymore. Like, if I'm leaving it ambiguous, it has to be for a damn good reason at this point.
Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate that.
I like to think that my younger self would also have appreciated that kind of representation, because growing up, I did not get it.
None of us did, I don't think.
Well, and that's a continual issue that, you know, I find myself writing about on bisexual books, which is just, even when authors write characters that are clearly bisexual based on their, you know, the way they think, the way they behave, there is this just lack of willingness to say the word. And sometimes it's this awkwardness, like you think that authors weren't sure how to work that word in there without having some sort of cliched, like, jump out of a cake, I'm bisexual, type moment. And I think but, you know, all coming out is always inherently kind of awkward. And I feel like, totally. I feel like bisexuality, one of the things that Ellie and I kind of co-founded the blog with me joke about is that we play book detective with overly vague jacket copy. Like, you know, this sensual exploration of, you know, the tensions between male and female. And you're like, because people just don't come, the reviews don't come out and say the word because the book didn't come out and say the word. And then, you know, you end up with these, you're reading either reviews, book jackets, you know, say professional reviews on things like Goodreads, being like, I can't tell if this character is bisexual. And then you sort of are in this weird place where you want to have that representation, but it's so damnably hard to find. So, I mean, I think it's really important that anybody does use that word at least once. It doesn't have to be, you really don't have to have your character jump out of a cake, but you know, no. that was
why
one
not?
Of the things.
Well, you know,
Heidi, I challenge you in your next erotic fiction to jump out of a cake, preferably naked.
Something sexy with the frosting. I have several bisexual characters, and usually my policy is generally if they don't say bisexual, they'll talk about past relationships. For example, Max in Apple Polisher mentions his attraction to women when he's, you know, snidely asking who Christian finds hotter between two women. That's his very vague coming out. And I found that in the reception of that book, people just steamrolled Max is also gay, like Christian is gay. And so when I came to Straight Shooter, I was like, no, I've got a bisexual character. And that's my first bisexual character who not only says I'm bisexual, but also says I'm attracted to genders the same as mine and different from mine. I felt it really, really important to also get the definition in there. And I felt like for the first time I had a character who I knew it was natural for him to say that, because he's talking to a very confused, very closeted young man. And so he has this opportunity to present himself and be out and be clear. And so I did that. And then still in the reviews, I occasionally get the review talking about him as a gay character. And it's like, he literally on page says bisexual, other genders, same gender. No. So
I think you're always going to get some mislabeling. So. Yeah. It's frustrating. I'm always tempted. I'm like,
keep,
no,
yeah.
They're not.
You just have to keep correcting them,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty
well,
much.
And that was one of the things that I also appreciated from you, Tess, for In Far From You, was that she did, you know, have this also a prolonged sort of journey as to trying to figure out exactly, you know, how she felt about both her best friend who is deceased and, you know, his brother or her brother. But that she did, you know, at some point use the word bisexual to describe herself and to describe part of that journey. And also, you know, your book is interesting because stylistically, you know, we as the reader find out about that relationship kind of backwards. The relationship that was, you know, more than friends between her and this best friend. But I did really appreciate that it used the word bisexual in there to describe
it. It was very important to me. I think at one point my editor asked me, is this necessary? I don't quite remember exactly. And I think we did have a discussion over it. And she's like, isn't it obvious? And I'm like, yeah, it is obvious, but it's also really important to actually put it in there because especially the YA books, YA is overwhelmingly, the LGBT content is about gay males.
Absolutely.
We're definitely starting to see a shift. Like this year, the year 2014 is like the year of the queer girl. It's fabulous. There's so many great books coming out this year that are about queer girls, which is so exciting. But so for me, growing up, because I kind of grew up in the golden age of YA when the first blush of LGBT fiction was coming out. And I felt very lucky for that as a young queer person. But it was a lot about just coming out, or it was a lot about queer boys. And like, I love me some queer boys, but I want to write about girls. So yeah, definitely Sophie saying I'm bisexual, I thought it was very, very important, because I did not want her feelings for Trev or her feelings for Mina to be trivialized. And I wanted the reader to know that she has serious feelings for both of them. It's not like she's gay for Mina or she's straight for Trev, because I really did not want that message to come across. I also think that I spent a lot of time thinking about how Sophie would label herself. Sophie is a drug addict. So she's someone who puts a lot of power into labels after she's finally admitted that she's an addict, because obviously she kind of has to. And I also think, as a modern teen with access to the internet, I think she would be more prone to label herself and to know herself from an earlier age than, say, if I was writing even 10 years ago. So I do definitely put a lot of thought into who would label themselves and who wouldn't when I approach my queer characters. But for the most part, I try to have as much explicit representation as possible. If there is a queer character in my book, and there always are queer characters in my book, because, you know, it's life, they generally say it in some way. I try to have them actually state the explicit their explicit sexuality in a natural way, not in like a weird, like, look at me way.
It has to fit the character. It has to fit
exactly.
The character and what the actual scene or whatever is happening, but yeah.
Yeah, especially with teens.
Because
I think that there's a lot, teens are definitely in flux. I think that there's lots of them who would maybe not identify fully with a label at the moment, and that's a totally legitimate way to approach a character. I would be interested in exploring that someday, but at the moment, I tend to write about girls who know who they are. They have strong senses of self. So I always figure their sexuality is in line with that.
Okay. Awesome. You guys,
Do we want to hop back on the script? Where were we?
That's what I'm just thinking. Now, I think we are at, do you think the climate for bisexual characters is different? Is that where we were?
No, we did that one. So I think we're
okay,
on the next one.
Okay. All right. So, what has been the response from readers towards having bi characters in your work? Heidi?
Okay, well, I've touched on this a little bit. Of course, you've got the people who read it and, regardless of my best intentions, still decide to call them gay. But then I sort of understand, because outside of the bisexual community, I don't think people realize how important it is to not be called gay or lesbian. Like, I don't think people really understand that we do have our own identity and we're very protective of it. So I try to, you know, not be too angry about readers calling my bisexual characters gay, but you do have that. You have, in male-male romance, where I do a lot of writing, you do have the issue of, if you're going to show on-screen female sex, there will be some blowback for that. I find it's not nearly as bad as it was. Now, a lot of the people who like female characters and like fully fleshed bisexual characters and are able to see beyond just the main pairing of the book, I find a lot of people are really embracing that now and are coming out of the woodwork saying, no, it's really fine if your bisexual character has a relationship with a woman at some point. Like, that's fine. But in general, I find that the reception has been really good. And surprising for me is, before this year, I really wasn't active on Tumblr, and I had no idea what an amazing, vibrant bisexual community was on Tumblr. And I felt like I'd found my people. And so since getting to that point, I've really discovered this hunger for bisexual characters, not just queer characters, but specifically bisexual characters who are representation for us, by us. And I've really been gunning to listen to that audience and write books that I feel like that audience would be happy with and proud of. Like, obviously, I always write books for myself, which makes it very easy for me to also write books for a bisexual audience, because I am bisexual, yay. But I definitely, now that I've found that bisexual community, I keep them in mind when I'm writing. And I feel like I just totally went off track with that answer.
No, that's great. That's awesome.
No, I second the fabulous Tumblr community. I think maybe I got into it around the same time as you did, Heidi. And it is so fabulous. In terms of my reader response, I have learned that there are a lot of girls who are secretly in love with their female best friends. I get a lot of letters about love advice. I get a lot of letters asking about love advice. It's the sweetest thing in the entire world. And I'm like, oh, God, you're asking me. I really have had it has been a tremendous, overwhelmingly amazing response that I have got from Far From You, and for Sophie especially, and for her actually saying the words. Like, I truly underestimated how much power her actually saying I'm not gay, I'm bisexual was until I started getting the letters. And it's just like, it's on a weekly basis. I get at least four or five from often young women in their early teens, late 20s. And it's been tremendous. I had one girl, I was in Houston, doing a teen book conference. And I spoke on my panel about being young and being queer. And afterwards she came up to me in my signing line and she just started crying. And through her tears, she told me that she had never met anyone who was young and queer and successful before. And like, it just broke my heart. It really did. I had kids coming up to me and asking me for advice about coming out, which I'm like the worst person in the world to ask about coming out, because I had the most anticlimactic coming out experience in the world. It's been a tremendous response. I'm so grateful for it. And I'm so happy that it has, the book and so me and Sophie's relationship has played some small part in some of these young women's lives. Like, that's why I wrote it, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful that it seems to be doing its job. So yay!
That's fantastic.
Yeah. As a bisexual person, is it easier for you to write bisexual characters than a character who is monosexual, or do you feel like there isn't really much of a difference for you?
I honestly don't really find much of a difference. I find it really there are times when I'm sort of in Wallflower, especially, where I have this very out gay character and the conflict is him trying to figure out how to be gay and also be in love with a genderqueer person. I had times where it was like, this would be a much easier book if he was just bisexual. Like, bisexual, that would be fine. He'd be like, great, I love it. You're a girl, you're a boy, you're not a girl or a boy, you're both a girl and a boy. Like, great, like, come to me, we can be together. And so it was like the almost all of the conflict, the romantic conflict in that book would just be gone if he'd have been bisexual. So at times it's sort of like it serves the story, and at times it's frustrating. I wouldn't say I really have that much difficulty writing a gay or lesbian character over writing a bisexual character. I find I can really empathize with everyone. Obviously, I get a more of a personal joy out of writing a bisexual character. It has special meaning to me, but I wouldn't say I have any kind of difficulty writing a gay or lesbian character.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I actually just finished my second book for Hyperion. I just turned it in, and it's about female friendship rather than about love, and the two girls are straight. I tend to really heap horrible things on my characters. So, like, the sexuality is usually, like, so under the radar and like so small compared to, you know, all the drug addiction and, you know, murder and all the drama that I honestly have never even really contemplated which sexuality is harder to write. I think it's more about, you know, all the horrible things that I'm heaping on them, because they all have like horrible PTSD. I swear they all should be like curled in a ball in a corner.
Sounds like real life.
I know, right? But I definitely, I feel more drawn to my bisexual characters, partly because, I feel there are so few of them and I feel that there's such an important need for them. And because I come from an activist family, so I do view writing in a way as activism. So definitely, I think I'm a little more preferential towards my bisexual characters than my other ones. my own unconscious bias.
Yeah. Hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I've kind of gotten to the point now where I have a policy of why not when I'm talking about writing POC characters, when I'm designing a book,
I'm
picking races for characters because I get to do that. And my question is, well, why not? Why can't he be a black man? Why can't he be Chinese? And then I'm starting to also feel that way about bisexual, because now I feel like as I've taken on this role of being an out bisexual author, I feel like I have sort of a duty to represent bisexuality as best I can. And so that's becoming a question now too. Like, why can't he be bisexual? Why not bisexual? So my latest book, I've got a young transgender man, and I don't think I originally planned anything for his sexuality. And then I had the option to write him a past relationship that he's remembers fondly, and I thought, why not bisexual? And so what could have very easily been my ex-boyfriend became my ex-girlfriend. And so that seems to be the journey I'm on right now, is just throwing in bisexuals wherever I please.
That's great.
That's, like,
and
such
that's
a
great
wonderful way to view things, and to like to view your work and your characters. I think that's really important.
That's great that you're showing such diversity, because as bisexuals, we are so diverse. We run the gamut of all of the communities, trans, everybody. I mean, that's one of the greatness about being bisexual, is we're everything. I mean, every race, well, anyway, let me just go on back to what I was saying, or starting to say. Bisexual care, this is more about encouraging everyone to get out there and start writing. Bisexuals are so underrepresented, even by the LGBT publishers. How do you think we can get more of them?
I think, like, obviously my journey to publishing is very different from Tess's. And I don't want to say necessarily easier, because obviously I've had my struggles too, but it definitely happens a lot faster when you don't have that additional waiting period of waiting to query agents. But namely, I'd say write bisexual characters, write the bisexual characters you want to see. If you're a writer, obviously, submit them to agents, submit them to publishers. Don't be afraid to do something like self-publish if that's the journey you want to take. Like, don't feel like you have to wait on anyone else to write it. That was my big takeaway as a teenager, was I had all these bisexual and queer characters that I would just, like, gently turn straight through the course of the novel. Like, just cut out all that little subtext. We'll just take that out. Because I had this idea in my mind that nobody wanted to see queer characters, nobody would buy it, nobody would publish it, and I wanted to be a published author, not just, like, or, well, I don't want to say just a hobby author, because being a hobby author is great, but, you know, I wanted to be a published author, so I thought I had to do a certain thing, write a certain character, stay a certain way, and coming to this fiction that I write now, which is queer romance and erotica, that is not an issue at all anymore. So my advice, if you're a writer, is write what you're passionate about. If you're passionate about bisexual characters, write them. Find someone who wants to take it. Do not change who you are or what you write for other people. Like, improve your craft, yes. Pay attention to, you know, I don't want to say pay attention to trends, but pay attention to what people are buying and stuff like that. Like, don't be writing something that's to a trend that's 20 years old. Like, if you're super passionate about vampires, write vampires. But if you're just writing vampires because Twilight was popular 10 years ago, like, you need to update your...
yeah.
Do not let the world scare you away from writing queer characters. Like, just go for it. You will find someone who loves it, and someone who wants to buy it, and someone who wants to publish it, and an agent who wants to represent it. It's just going to take time, but you can do it. If you are not a writer, however, my biggest advice is buy the books you see. If when you're join bisexual books, follow it on Tumblr, and when they make a recommendation of a great, well, hey, if they make a recommendation of a great book, or you see a book that they reviewed sort of meh, but it sounds good to you, buy that book. Put some money in the author's pocket. If you don't have money, go to your library and request that book. That also works fantastic for supporting the author. Great way to do it if you don't have a ton of liquid funds, which a lot of us don't. And yeah, the more that you buy, the more publishers get interested, the more authors can write, because obviously if we're not making a paycheck on the book we have out right now, it becomes very difficult to write another one. And if you're in traditional publishing, if your book flops, you often don't get another chance. So it's really important that you find your way to support the authors that are out there and really put out the effort to support what you want to see.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I definitely, what Heidi's saying about fear, I wrote Far From You because I was angry at publishing. And it was my hissy fit. I'm going to write the most unpublishable book ever, I said. And so I wrote about a disabled drug addict bisexual girl. And I never thought in a million years that it would be published. And then, you know, it was, and it changed my entire life. So, you know, you never, I think the important thing to know about publishing is you never know, even if you have all the elements of a book that seems unsellable or seems too edgy or seems like it's really niche. Sometimes you can be really, really surprised depending on the agent, depending on the climate of the book world, depending on so many different factors that are just completely out of our control. I also think that when the door has been opened for you, and you're finally allowed to go in, the door that you have been knocking on for so long, it's important to keep that door open for other authors like you, and who write like you, and try to encourage and support other authors. Mm-hmm. Through mentoring, through buying other books, through requesting through libraries, all of these things are so important. And I also think that continued education of the gatekeepers is really important. Publishing can be a very privileged place, and you can sometimes you have to do some education. Sometimes people just don't know some things, and if you just keep being insistent and going, no, this is the way it usually goes. This is my experience as a bisexual woman. This is my experience as when I was a bisexual teen. It can be really helpful in opening everybody's minds, because there's lots of tropes and there's lots of misinformation about us bisexuals out there.
That's a nice way to put that. I was very polite.
Yeah. But no, I've had nothing but wonderful support from my publishers. I've been so grateful. But you definitely feel this burden, because you know, as someone who is writing LGBT fiction, that your book is going to be held up to their decision of buying any other queer books. So you definitely feel that pressure of sales and responsibility. And I definitely think, as a queer writer, especially when you're writing for teens, there's a level of responsibility there, and there's a little bit of a pressure to be like the living embodiment of it gets better. And it definitely does get better, but sometimes it's crappy still too. So, I mean, like we all have our concerns even after we grow up. And I think that's, important to, show the teenagers as well, because we're not living in a queer utopia after you automatic turn 18. Sadly.
I give kudos to both of you, because we are at the beginning of having how we are viewed changed and being accepted, and you're kind of like right out there out front for us in this genre. So it's just a start. It'll get easier. It will.
Definitely.
Well, and that was one of the reasons I was kind of excited. I talked to, you know, a bunch of different authors, and that you two were the two that were able to come in today, because I feel like while there is a tradition in, like, highbrow literary fiction of having bisexual characters, most of whom don't use the word bisexual and who don't interact with bisexual in a way that's familiar to those of us who are involved in queer mm-hmm. communities, mostly this is where I'm getting into the whole overly vague jacket copy about explorations and, you know, options, and I don't, but I feel like both romance writing in general is just discovering bisexuality as a really dynamic thing, and YA, which has had some bisexual books that have been published since the beginning, you know, Tess, you mentioned sort of like the golden age 10 years ago, you know, of YA publishing, and Empress of the World by Sarah Ryan was held up, you know, was published almost a decade ago, held up as like, look, there's this beautiful book about a bisexual teen girl. And then that was it. There was just, there was Empress of the World.
It was a big, long period. Yeah.
There was 4 or 5 years later, there was Boyfriends with Girlfriends by Alex Sanchez. And then there just wasn't. It was like the gay male characters got to flower and move beyond the coming out narrative and, you know, become dynamic. And the bisexual characters just sort of sat there, you know, and in the last year or two, I've seen so many more bisexual characters in YA, and I've seen more in the romance genres as well, especially coming from Riptide, Heidi, that publishes a lot of your work. Mm-hmm. So thank you for coming, because I both feel like you guys are on the cutting edge.
Yeah, we are. I think we're in the middle of a bisexual renaissance, hopefully.
Yeah. See, if you guys would like to plug your publishers, or if you feel like they are they both independents or small firms?
Well, and that was my last question. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss at this time, which was going to be a plug your next project, guys?
Okay. My next project comes out early next year. I've got a little break here in the fall. I'm very excited for that. In January, I have a book coming out from Riptide Publishing, which is my publisher for the most part. They're a LGBTA press. They're actively querying asexual fiction right now and bisexual fiction. They're really looking for lesbian fiction as well, or female. So if you've got some bisexual women, they're also welcome there. But I've got a book coming out in January. It is my male-male trans rom-com. I was really excited to write a book with a trans character where the transness is not the transness. The fact that the character is trans is not the conflict of the book. He comes out as trans immediately. It's never made an issue of at any point. Like there are some issues regarding masculinity and being a transgender man, but ultimately it's not about this cis man who's thinking, oh, can I love a trans man? Like, that's not the issue of the book. And I really wanted to write a trans story because, you know, a lot of what I do when I write romance is that I'm writing books that have happy endings, because growing up, I never found this lovely YA renaissance of queer fiction. I never even saw it. I never heard of it. I lived in the boonies, so I was completely locked off. So I didn't know there was such a thing as a happy ending for a queer character or a happy story for a queer character. And so I've done that a lot now with all my other fiction, and I've decided I really want to do one with a trans character now, where the story is your typical rom-com. It's about opposites attract. There's hijinks, there's pranks, there's all that kind of stuff. It's like the rom-com movies I loved growing up, but now with a transgender and a gay male character that's just their identity, and it's not glossed over, but it's not the point of the story, and I'm really excited about that. I'm super excited. And yeah, like I said, my trans male character, why not? He's also bisexual, so.
Yay!
What is the title of that?
I love that. That is called The Burnt Toast B&B.
Oh.
All about a guy running title. His parents' B&B. I know. I fought for that title.
Oh, my God. That's, like, totally my kind of book. Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Cutesy and fluffy. That was what I did.
I love me some happy books. I don't
so
write
happy,
them, though.
Too happy, almost.
My second book, I'm published by Hyperion in the US and, Indigo in the, UK. Hyperion is owned by Disney, so it's a fairly large, company. And Indigo is owned by Orion. It's a British publishing house. They're both really, really amazing, very supportive. Far From You is out now. My second book does not have a release date right now, and it does not have a title right now. It has a tentative title, but I haven't gotten editor approval on it, so I'm not going to voice it. I don't want to jinx it. But it is about two female best friends who are more like sisters who grew up together. And it's about what happens when one of them reveals that the other's father molested her as a child.
Aww.
And it's about what happens when the daughter kills the father.
Wow.
And is put in prison. So the entire book is written in letters to prison. It's very much about the killer in all of us. I'm really excited about it. I really wanted to write a book about female friendship where love wasn't the focus after a really very love-focused book with Far From You, very much a love story. And so I'm very excited about it. We'll see where it goes. It will probably be out late 2015, but probably more like 2016, we're thinking.
Oh, wow, that sounds exciting. That sounds great.
Thanks.
We'll be looking forward to that.
Great. Well, I think anybody got anything else?
Thank you for having me.
There we go. Damn. Yes, thank you for so much for this opportunity to chat up and talk bisexual fiction. I'm on Twitter if you want to chat me. I'm at Heidi Bello, all one word. The link should be on the Bicast website, I hear. And you know what? If you want to chat with me about my books, that's cool. If you want to talk about your books, also cool. Want to talk bisexual fiction, triple cool. I would love to hear it. I love talking to, like Tess said, I am happy to help other authors and get the word out and give you advice. Like, obviously, if you want to go my way, I'm very helpful. If you want to talk about queering agents, I'm going to be like, I don't know, ? But obviously, if you've got anything you need to talk to me about, I am available pretty much 24/7. It's actually sort of embarrassing.
Twitter is addictive.
Yes.
I'm happy I don't understand it because I can't be on there all the time then.
It's such a time suck. It really is.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this with us.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. This went really, really well. This was my first time planning a show, too. So I was like, oh, God, I hope this I don't know what kind of questions
you did
to ask.
Great.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she produced the whole thing. This is her show. So, yeah, really.
I'm just really glad my internet didn't go out. I have crappy mountain internet. I'm very proud of it right now.
I've been sitting here with my cat at the door meowing this entire time. So I'm sorry. Sorry if that comes through. Hopefully it won't, but he's just sitting like, whoa. The most boring cat meowing.
Oh, kitty.
No, it was great. Sarah, you did great. Both of you were great. I really appreciate you guys being out here.
Well, thank you for doing this. It's awesome. Thanks for doing this. This is fabulous. It's a great resource.
Mm-hmm, totally. I was checking the website out, and I was like, wow, there's actually some, like, really cool cast going on here.
Yeah.
Really excited. I'm not a podcast person, but I was just like, browsing them all.
Yeah, they're getting to be quite popular, and it's so convenient. You know, you can just dump it on your iPhone and listen to it on the bus. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I imagine that's really great for, like, especially, you know, people who have long commutes or people who don't communicate well in text. It's probably super helpful to have a resource that they can listen to rather than have to read. Like, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. All links will be provided on the website. I want to thank you both for coming. Thank you, Sarah, for putting together a great show. I want to remind everyone, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Keep writing and keep reading. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
All right, you guys were fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
I didn't hear your cat. My cat goes, maru. You know, I always think like Star Trek,
Were barking outside like crazy, of course. Gosh, I shoved them all outside.
Yeah. You're like a parent with kids in the summer. Go outside, kids. Go play outside.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally am. And they all outweigh me now. They're all so, because I have huge, giant dogs because I'm crazy. So, yeah, it's difficult sometimes.
I kid at my grandparents' house. She was like, I don't want to go. I want to stay home and cuddle with you, Bubby. I'm like, I'm not staying in bed. I have things to do today. Normally we have like an hour-long cuddle session every morning in bed. We have a snuggle.
Oh.
This morning there was no and I don't think she liked the break routine. I guess that's one of the good things about being a full-time mom, that you can do stuff like that. Put that on my schedule.
It's really great. It's really great. We have you guys as our young authors coming up. And I'm on a quest to see if we can get someone to write a story for some of us older, late bloomers, you know,
yes,
kind of ours. Because there are so many of us.
Yeah,
there are so many of us that are coming out so late, you know.
Yeah, I would say it's really interesting to me, like being doing this blog has gotten me involved in bisexual activism for the first time, which I didn't really know was a specific thing that actually even existed.
Yeah.
But there's like this interesting group of either people who are younger or who came out when they were like in that sort of, I would say, like 16 to 21 range. And then there's this other swing of people who came out like post 45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really, it's very, it's a phenomenon as far as I can tell. But yeah. Because there's a whole bunch of people like me that, you know, I'm 57. I came out when I was 56, you know, and they're like 45 or older. We have a different set of things that happen to us because, I mean, you didn't ever say the word bisexual. And there was no information. And what information was there was, of course, all wrong. So it's, you know, it's been a big struggle for a lot of us older people, us old folks.
I had a fun journey in that I came out as a teenager, went back in the closet briefly, then came out again because I had this idea in my head, you know, I internalized a lot of really nasty shit, so I was thinking, oh, you know, I've identified as bisexual my entire teen life. I've had very, like, strong relationships with other women. I've had crushes on my friends. I had the unrequited love for my best friends. It is so dramatic. But I'd only ever dated guys. And so in college, I said, well, can I really be queer if I've only dated guys? Like,
right.
And I tried to date girls, and there was, like, little to no interest. I guess I don't really have – I don't have game with girls. I always joke about that I don't have game with girls.
I know.
And so I said to myself, well, if my history is all men, I'm not allowed to call myself bisexual. And so I said, no, I'm straight. It doesn't matter all these things, all these experiences, how I identified. I'll just pretend to be straight. I'll say I'm straight because I haven't, you know, reached the tally mark of magical 50-50. And so, you know – reaching my mid-20s, I was like, actually, that's kind of bullshit, and I think it's a little crap that I have to pretend to be straight and force myself to identify as straight just because I haven't, like, mythically reached this magic number. Like, I still count, and so that's been my entire journey has been I count. I still matter. My identity matters.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think
exactly.
It's a common journey. I have several female friends who have come to me like just like in the few years of knowing me and like been like, do you think it's okay if I identify like this even if I have a male partner? And I'm like, and I haven't ever been with a woman. I'm like, yes, you know who you're attracted to. Come on, it's totally fine.
Yeah, I just feel like they really do expect us to take a test that other queer people do not have.
I know, and it's like, no, there's not like this the notch on your bedpost. Of how many women you've slept with.
Yeah, there's not some magical number that actually, you know, it says, okay, yeah, now you are officially bisexual. It doesn't
work
that way.
It doesn't, like, pop up on your back like a turkey tag.
Well, and I would say as a person who works with teens, I think that it's very much still the case where I love them to pieces. And a lot of, especially the teen girls, will, like, come raring out of the closet at, like, 14, 15 now and just be like, I'm bisexual and you need to deal with it. And then they get just inundated with these messages that, like, bi teen girls are all fakers and you're doing it for attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen these girls that were at 14 or 15, maybe a little bit, they weren't being bisexual for attention. Maybe they came out loudly because they did want a little attention. But then they see the way that homophobia and biphobia gets just lumped on them. And then they get nervous. And I do, I have teenagers who I've known for years who will be like, well, I've only ever dated boys or girls. Like I have, you know, one of my teens, she's only ever dated girls. I mean, she had like 6th or 7th grade quote-unquote boyfriend, you know. But like, you know, she's only ever dated girls, and she's like, well, maybe I'm just a lesbian. And I'm like, honey, you're not I don't believe you're a lesbian. You know, if I believed you were a lesbian, I'd be very supportive, but I've seen the way that you like crush on boys and on genderqueer people, and if you ever want to identify as a lesbian, that's fine, but you don't have to like magically date a certain number of all the other genders to like hit the check boxes to get your bisexual card. And it's okay if you're a teen girl who is bisexual, even if you are an attention seeker. I've got a couple of attention seeking teens, you know, who half shave their head and get tattoos at like 15 that make me wince, and I go, oh, honey, you're going to regret that. You know, and like, you know, they are. But that doesn't mean they're any less bisexual, you know.
Exactly. That's the point.
I think a lot of us go through that attention-seeking phase of being a teenager. Like, you want to be important in the world. You don't want to be just another number. You want to be that. But, like, for bisexuals specifically, that behavior negates our sexuality when it really should. It's just like they're two separate things. Maybe you're attention-seeking, maybe you're not, but that is completely irrelevant to how you identify and who you
are. You know, and that is just our identity that happens to, because a kid comes out as gay, nobody says, oh, you're just looking for attention, you know?
Yes.
They don't do that. You know, it's like, okay, you're gay, but if you say you're bi, it's like, oh, you're just trying to fit into this group.
Yeah,
different.
I want to find the cool bi cult clique that, like, makes me cool and doesn't like, where my school didn't have a cool bisexual cult. My school had the, like, you know, the painful closetingness.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, yes, everyone's like, teen girls are doing it to be popular. And I'm like, trust me, it didn't. I came out at 19 in college, but, like, it did not make me popular in college.
I was in high school, and I was not popular. Not even.
I mean, I definitely think you get the ones who fetishize it, but the ones who fetishize it are just gross.
Yeah.
Think it was. Well, we're going to change the world, aren't we, girls?
That's right.
Yeah, we are.
Indeed.
We are. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.